I want you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 18. Luke, chapter number 18, and then in 1 Corinthians, chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians, Luke, chapter 18, and 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12. I said first, but 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12. You find both passages. Just hold them there for a moment, and I'm going to read a passage of Scripture in this. Luke, chapter number 18, and then we're going to look at 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. Read just a couple of verses here in Luke chapter number 18. Look at verse 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him. Now he's talking to a rich young ruler. And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Then go over to the book of 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, I'll begin reading with verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul responds, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in necessity, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would minister our hearts. Our Father, thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir and the congregation, Brother Chris, just now. God, for the blessed privilege of being here, we do thank you for Brother Bobby and Lee and, Lord, for all the family. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for God, his love for the Lord Jesus Christ, his love for this church family, for his pastor. And God, I thank you, Lord, for blessing us that he's been with us for these years. And God, we look forward to many more days of fellowship and service. And I pray now, God, you'd speak to my heart. Give me, our Father, your touch. God, I confess before you there's no good thing in me. And God, apart from your blessing and touch on me this morning, nothing of eternal value to take place. Help me now, Lord Jesus, to be a blessing to God's people here in the building and the radio audience and in the internet audience. And Lord, if there's a man or a woman, a boy or girl in any of the media audiences or in this building that's lost, God, please don't let anybody die and go to hell. I pray they'll be saved. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I really appreciate Brother Gary Mayberry teaching for us on these several Wednesday nights, four Wednesday nights in a row, did a great series on the life that hope builds. And I was telling folk Wednesday night that I was listening to the message he shared, and it was a blessing. I took notes on all of that. And throughout the time of my hearing Brother Gary, not only did I glean what he was saying, but God spoke other things in my heart. And one of the messages, maybe the second message he preached, God spoke to my heart about this truth. And I don't recall what it was in the message, but it was something. And I want to share with you this thought for just a few minutes. And if God help me, it'll be a few minutes. I've got more notes than a few minutes, but I'll try my best just to quit and let you get out of here. But I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on the burden of blessings and the blessing of burdens. The burden of blessings and the blessing of burdens. Most everybody wants to feel good. Most everybody wants everything to go good. Most everybody wants to be successful. They want to have plenty of money. They want to have a nice home. They want to have everything, just have everything, no problems, everything, sunshine and roses. But it don't happen that way. And the thing is this, sometimes blessings are a burden. I want you to look at a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. I want to remind you as you turn to the book of Deuteronomy, way back, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to read chapter number 8. I want to remind you that every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. How many of you have been here and God's blessed you? You say amen. Raise your hand, will you? If God's blessed you, he's blessed you physically. He's blessed you financially. He's blessed you with a family. He's blessed you with your health. God's blessed all of us. But I want to remind you that sometimes blessings can be a burden. Why is that, Brother Billy? I want to show you what happened to the nation of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 8, beginning with verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to bring thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou hast also considered in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth into thee into a good land, a land of brooks and waters and fountains and depths and springs of the valley of the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil and honey, wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Now hang on right there. They have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They have received miraculous manna from heaven. God sent the quail to feed them. God did so many wonderful miracles for them. And he said, in that time, you were humbled. In that time, you sought my face. In that time, you thanked the Lord for every day's provision. And you learned that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In other words, when they had very little, they sought God. And God said, I'm going to bless you now. I'm going to bring you into a land of great plenty. He said, there'll be plenty of water. They struggled for water in the wilderness. And he said, there'll be great fruit. There'll be barley. There'll be all the grains that you could eat. It's going to be a goodly land. There'll be great mineral wealth there. I'm going to bless you. You'll have more than you've ever had in all your life. But now look at verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herd and thy flocks multiply, thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart is lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought and where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of the flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that thou mightest prove, he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou sayest thine heart, my power and my might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, and that he may establish his covenant with thee, he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nation which the Lord destroyed before his face, so shall you perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Sometimes blessings can become a burden. God's good to us. I mean, when we're struggling, just trying to get by, we're praying about this, praying about light bill, praying about the car payment, praying about something to eat. We might seek God, and we might be humbled, and we might recognize that everything we've got comes from God. But somehow or another, when God begins to bless us and you begin to accumulate a little bit, you've got a better job, you build a bigger house, You get two cars. You get a boat. You get this, that, the other. All those things. If we're not careful, our blessings can become a burden. It'll rob us of some things. It destroys us in some ways, as it did them. History records that what the Lord said they would do, in fact, they really did. And it happens over and over again. Sometimes burden, a blessings become a burden. Why is that? Listen, God bestows riches on us. You should go through the Word of God over and over again, and you'll find out that it is God who blesses you. He says riches and power in His right hand. He blesses us materially, blesses us with our family, blesses us with success, blesses us with position. But something happens, and if we're not careful, our blessings will become a burden to us. Why? I'll give you some scriptures. I'm not going to take time to turn to all of them. But in Psalm 62 and verse 10, he said this, in God's time of blessing and when riches come, you have to be careful that you do not trust in riches. And what happens sometimes, you're totally dependent on God, but when God begins to bless and you begin to have a little job and have a little money and everything, you forget to trust God. You begin to trust your IRA, you begin to trust your work situation, you begin to trust all those things, and you turn your trust away from God. It's God that's blessed us. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. But he said to Israel, if you're not careful, when you get into the land and you've got a good home and you've got good fields and you've got plenty of food and you begin to get fat, you'll forget me and you won't trust me like you used to. And my dear friend, sometimes we get to where we don't think we need God anymore. I mean, there was a time that you felt like you needed to get to the house of God to pray. You need to be around God's people. But after things begin, God begins to bless you and you accumulate some things, then it's not quite as important anymore. Not only that, but when you study the Word of God, you'll find out this in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 13. He says this, that he that gains silver, masters silver, cannot be satisfied. Now, what's it mean? What does he say in that passage of Scripture? He's saying that it seems as if the more you get, the more you want. And the more you have, the more you spend. And the more you spend, the more you need. And so consequently, it's more work and more time and more effort. Blessings can be a burden. Did you know that? I mean, it can be that you can become discontent. You have more than you've ever had, but you're not content. You got more than you've ever had in all your life, but you're not happy because there's something else you want, and there's no contentment, there's no peace in your heart. And you know, sometimes God's blessings can become a burden because the more you have, the more you want, the more you get, the more you spend, the more you go in debt, all those things. And then in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, as he said here in this passage of Scripture, he said, if you're not careful when you begin to have some success, and I'm not talking about just material things, I'm talking about in a lot of different ways. I mean, you've had a certain amount of success or recognition in your position, where you're at in your job or somewhere, or you begin to get, you know, some recognition or some, I guess you'd say, fame. If you're not careful, as he said of them in Jeremiah, he said this in chapter number 9, verses 23 and 24. He said, if you're not careful, you'll rob God of his glory. And just like they did. He said, if you're not careful, when you get into the land and you've got all this land out in front of you, you've got all these houses and everything, you'll sit back and say, man, I have done a great job. People come by and look at your house and you say, I'll tell you one thing, I worked hard for this. And I got this and I did this and I did that and I did the other. Sometimes blessings can become a burden because it robs God of his glory. There's nothing wrong with having things. You know what? He asked Solomon, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom, know how to rule your people. And he said, I'll tell you what, because you didn't ask me for riches, said, I'll make you the richest man in the world. And he did. And he gave him wisdom as well. Nothing wrong with having things. But I'm just saying, sometimes our blessings can become a burden because they rob God of his glory. And we forget to tell God and acknowledge God in it. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, chapter 13, verse 22, is the story of the parable of the sower. And he said that when he sowed the seed, some of it sprang up. And he said the thorns came up and it choked us, the word of God. And he said that's what happens to people. He said sometimes the cares of this world and riches will choke the word of God. There's a time maybe in your life when you loved the Bible. You loved to hear it preached. You loved to study the Word of God. You love to be around the Word of God. But now you got such a preoccupation. Many of you sitting right there today listening to me preach. Your mind's on your business. Some of you even got your cell phones and you're checking things about business. You're thinking about this and thinking about that and thinking about the other thing. And you got all those things. And what it's done, it chokes out the Word of God. And man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He let Israel wander in the wilderness for 40 years so they learned that lesson that God will provide you food and God will give you that and God will give you a good job and all those things. But the problem is this, you've choked off the Word of God. You don't read the Word of God. You don't study the Word of God. You don't let the Word of God assimilate your life. You don't live your life and order your life by the Word of God. God's not going to bless that. And as long as you'll live your life, he said, I did all that so I know if you're going to follow my commandments or not. See, the key is this. If you're not careful, God will bless you so and you have so many blessings, you'll forget the Word of God. It'll be a little postscript at the bottom of your life. It'll be just a little P.S. at the bottom of your daily routine. It will not become the primary thing in your life. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Blessings can become a burden when they begin to choke out the Word of God in your life. And you don't let the Word of God dwell in you richly, like Paul said. And then this. Sometime the Bible says this. Turn over. I do want you to look at this one. Turn to the book of 1 Timothy in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy, let's look at this one real quick. Sometimes blessings can become a burden. And in 1 Timothy, Paul is admonishing these people are telling Timothy to admonish these people. 1 Timothy, and when you look at chapter number 6, 1 Timothy chapter number 6, and look with me, please, at verse number 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Now, let me say this to you. Again, I'm not talking about just money. Rich and success. Some people are power-driven. I mean, in the realm of Christian activity, there I've known some gospel groups and some preachers who are driven with a passion to be successful for the praise of men. I mean, listen, they want to be successful. They won't know the secret to the ministry. What's the secret to being able to sing in big places, to have big churches and all those things? And they get obsessed with that instead of worshiping God and walking with God and giving God all the glory, trusting God completely. Verse 9, again, in 1 Timothy chapter 6. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. My dear friend, sometimes blessings can be a burden because it distracts us from God. We don't give God the glory. We don't trust God like we used to. We don't let the Word of God dwell us. And then we experience all these temptations. The devil gets into it and he's trying to manipulate you and get you to compromise and get you to be unfaithful to God and unfaithful in your business practices and dishonest in all those areas. And he said, those that do that, he said, they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. He said this, it's simple, just simple. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Sometimes we say it in redneck so we can all understand it. We talk about some of his success, but they say this, they add this about it. But you know, they never forgot where they came from. They were the same person. They drove a bigger car. They lived in a bigger house, but they were just the same person. And that's the way it ought to be with churches. I mean, this church ought not be different than the church across the road. It ought to be the same way. We ought to have the same feeling when we walk in here, the same closeness, just more of us, more people to hug. More people to hug, that's all. And the presence of God and the informality of that across the road, where we came together as a family and worshiped God in sincerity. When we shared our heart, we wept around this altar, begged God to save our family, save our kids, and asked God to do something in this place. It ought to be that way now. Sometime blessings can become a burden. Padded pews can become a burden. Good sound systems can become a burden. Air conditioning can become a burden because we get fat spiritually. We get set back. We don't give God all the glory. We don't have a hunger for the Word of God. Our church service becomes a spectator sport. We come in and we sit and listen and then we leave. My dear friend, listen. Blessings can be a burden. I mean, if we had to pray every week for everything that we got, whether we're going to have anything to eat or anything to do. If we had to seek God, and so many times I see it, Terry went with me to the little church up in Reedsville, 1 year old. Man, listen, we pulled up on the ground. They were out in the yard. They were excited in the yard. They were excited when they got inside. I'm talking about kids, teenagers, everybody. They were all excited about what God was doing. They all had a hunger for the things of God. They were all excited about God doing something. And my dear friend, if we're not careful, we'll get to the place where we think we have arrived and we just coast the rest of the way in. And listen, that displeases God. And he said this, I'll tell you something else. He said, I'll judge you because of it. Oh, listen, if the blessings can become a burden because it causes us not to trust God. We're filled with deceit and we're filled with pride and we get unfruitful. And our blessings can become a burden when they control us. You got to work all those hours to pay for all of that. You can't come to prayer meeting. You can't come to missions conference. You can't give to missions. You can't tithe because you got so many debt. Blessings have become a burden. Oh, listen, it can happen to anybody. It can happen to all of us. But you have to be careful. Oh, listen, I want you to look over with me, please, to the book of Revelation and this word he gives right at the very end down here. And he says of these last day churches, he's talking about them and saying things about them. And notice what he says in this age. This is the age we're living in. It's the Laodicean age in Revelation chapter 3. And the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning and the end. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods, and have need of nothing. I mean, they got it all. That church has got it all in the last days. They've got finances to pay the bills. They've got this, that, and the other. But what they don't have is the power of God. What they don't have is the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. And he says of that church, he said, you say we're rich and increasing good, have need of nothing. And thou knowest that not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried with fire that thou mayest be rich, and with white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy name, the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear. Anoint thy eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Oh, listen, sometimes blessings can become a burden. I mean, when you've got everything you need, you don't need God anymore. And God, the Holy Ghost, has to shake us out of that. Shake us out of that. Now, that's point number one. Sometimes blessings can become a burden. But I go back to my text verse just quickly and I'll be through. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. And he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. God used Paul to write 13 books of this Bible. He was caught up into the third heaven. He saw things that not even, you can't even utter. He saw multiplied thousands of people saved. And all that God used to. But can I tell you something? If the Apostle Paul were to walk into this meeting on Sunday morning, you wouldn't know him. Because he wouldn't be showy. He wouldn't come in sounding a trumpet. He would not be Big Paul. He'd be Little Paul. He'd come in recognizing that there's no good thing in me. That is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I'm chiefest of sinners. He is a brother. And my dear friend, listen, if you're not careful, you'll develop all the blessings of God on us. We'll get conceited, get full of pride. Nobody's doing it like we are. Nobody's as successful as we are. Nobody loves the Lord like we do. That's wicked. That's wicked. And Paul said, God gave me a thorn in the flesh, a message of Satan to buffet me. I don't have any idea what it is. People talked about it was eyesight, talked about his physical appearance. Some people say it was just a real spiritual battle he went through. I don't know what it was. It really doesn't say it's a message of Satan. It says this, but he describes it as an infirmity. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproach and necessities, persecution, distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Go back to the first chapter of this book. I'll be through. Sometimes burdens can be a blessing. Hard times Hard times can be good for you. Tough times can be good for you because it'll drive you to God. And you'll learn a lesson that without Him, you can do nothing. Without Him, you can't do anything. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll pick up the reading with verse number 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. I mean, that's a terrible thing. Paul's going through tribulation. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abound in Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. For whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall you be also the consolation. Paul went through some horrible things in his ministry. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten three different times with 40 stripes, save one, just like our Lord. He was imprisoned. He was impoverished. He was destitute, went through all those things. But he said, God and all of that helped me. And he said, the wonderful thing about it is God taught me if he'll help me, he'll help you. And God comforted me, he'll comfort you. Look at verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble which came on us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul came to the place that he could not go on. He was just beat down spiritually, emotionally, every other way. He even despaired of life. Does that mean he was fearful of his life? I think he came to the place where he said, I'd just soon die. I believe he was ready to die. He's going through so much suffering. But, verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great death, and doth deliver us, in whom also we trust that he will yet deliver us, ye also helping together by prayer for us, for that the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on your behalf. Listen, Paul said this, I've gone through all these things. And he said, my burdens have become a blessing. Why? How is it that burdens become a blessing? Number one, our burdens keep us humble. We recognize without him we couldn't do it. Number two, it keeps us praying. I mean, listen, God put enough on you and me both just to keep us praying, just to be in his presence. Your burdens will keep you praying. Matter of fact, I cannot really believe in all my life of ministry that I can remember anybody who really got close to God because of God blessing them physically or financially. Never. I've been in the hospital and prayed for a lot of people who were right at the point of death. And they said, Brother Bill, I'll tell you one thing, brother. When God heals me and God gets me out of here, I'm going to be in church every Sunday. Can I tell you they're not here? I've never seen them follow through. Very few of them ever follow through. But I've seen plenty of people who go through tough times who never wobble one time on the axle. They walk right on through the fire and come out on the other side. They are faithful to God. They are humble. They walk with God. They are prayers, and they know how to pray for other people. When they are hurting, they know how to pray for others. When they've lost a loved one, they know how to pray for people who lost a loved one. When they go through a sickness, they know how to pray for people. Burdens can be a blessing. It keeps us humble. It keeps us praying. It helps us to keep the right perspective on what's important. What's important? I'm going to tell you one thing. Your whole life stops. Sometimes there may be something coming in your life, and everything that's not important disappears. Doesn't make any difference. None. And God's sometimes burdens help us keep a right perspective on what's important. What's important is our relationship with God. What's important is knowing we're saved and on our way to heaven. What's important is the Word of God and having it in our heart. What's important is us, our life counting for Christ and giving Him glory in our burdens. We see God's greatest compassion and His greatest power. Can I tell you the most fertile place in your Christian life is in the valley? In the valley, He restoreth my soul. It's in those dark times. I would not want anybody in here to go through what me and Miss Regina went through in the death of our firstborn child to leukemia. But can I tell you, God did things for me and for her during those times that have kept us going for 50 years now. God's a God of grace. And my dear friend, in those burdens that come your way, God will help you to keep a right perspective. In those times, God will show His greatest compassion and greatest power. In those burdens that come your way, it causes you to appreciate everything in your life. You take for granted so many things, your speech, your ability to eat food, your eyesight. But sometimes when burdens come, the smallest little thing you thank the Lord for, being able to button your own shirt, being able to brush your own teeth. Sometime when burdens come, it helps us to begin to learn to appreciate everything. I mean everything. You go through certain time, my dear friend, when you in that time, the flowers will never smell more sweeter than when you're in the darkest valley you're ever going through. The stars would never shine brighter than those days. The birds would never sing sweeter than when you're going through those burdens. God shows us great things when the burdens become a blessing. My dear friend, listen. You're going through that burden can be your greatest testimony to your family and friends. I'll talk to Miss Cindy and Brother Gary and beforehand, but they gave me a copy of things that when they found out he had stage 4 cancer and that he might not live, that they wrote together. And they said, whatever happens, one little thing, whatever happens, we're going to go through this in such a way that our family can see that God is in control of our life. We're not going to charge God foolishly. My dear friend, sometimes the greatest testimony you have is when you're going through dark days. People watch you. They watch you in times of sorrow. They watch you in times of suffering. They watch you in times when the whole rug's been pulled out from under you. When you lose your job, you lose everything. They watch you. And sometimes your greatest testimony, 3 Hebrew children thrown in the fiery furnace, and the king comes, looks in, and he said, how many do we throw in the furnace? And they said, 3. He said, well, I see 4, and the 4th is like the Son of Man. Listen, it didn't say that they saw the Lord. It said He did. And you may be going through something right now, the worst you've ever been through in your life, and you can't see God in it. But people standing on the outside looking at you can see the Lord with you as you go through it. And listen, those burdens become a blessing when they become a witness to others. And through what you're going through, somebody else may get saved. Somebody else may trust Christ. Somebody else may go through the same thing down the road and they'll say, because they went through it, I can go through it. Suffering, our trials, our burdens can become a blessing because they refine us like gold in a fire. The trial of our faith, he said, the trial of your faith. Like now, fire, it's not pleasant, it's not good, but if need be, He'll let you go through it, and you'll come forth as gold. And Job said, I shall come forth as gold when I've been tried. My dear friend, it makes you a better Christian. Your blessings, God blesses us. He's given us so many things, but I'm telling you again, I don't know many people that God's blessed them with prosperity and position and with jobs and everything that made them a better Christian. But I know a lot of people who've gone through burdens, God's made them a better Christian. That doesn't mean that people in position, that mean people who are wealthy, people who have great possession, they honor God and magnify God. God uses that. I'm just telling you that by and large, Christians grow in the fire. Causes others to pray for you. Paul, in this passage of Scripture, he said, and you helping together with prayer. Well, listen, when I was sick, there were people who prayed for me. I mean, really prayed. I remember when our little girl was sick, we had a situation in our home church there that were 2 men in our church. Both of them were good men. Both of them loved me and Regina and loved little Christy. But they were kind of crossed up one another. They were out of fellowship with one another. And they both got praying for us and trying to pray that God would touch us. And God, we saw God do a miracle. One of those men got up one Sunday morning, told the pastor, I've got to tell something. He came up and he called that other man up. He apologized to him publicly. Here's what he said. He said, I've been trying to pray for Regina and for Brother Billy and for little Christy. And every time I try to pray, God kept putting his finger on the fact that I had a bad spirit toward this brother. And I want to ask him to forgive me and all that. Listen, your burden that you're going through right now, that it'll cause more people to pray than anything else you've ever done in your life. And it'll cause them to get closer to God. And it'll cause their prayer life to become more effective. You affect the prayer lives of many. And Paul said, many, many, many people pray for me. But then he also said this. He said, and now my recovery is a cause for rejoicing and giving a thanks for many. You'll cause a lot of people to praise the Lord. You prayed for me. And over again, I'm reminded, I'm in situations all the time of people who went through exactly what I went through and did not live 24 hours. And I could have, but for the prayers of God's people. You prayed for me. And I remember the first time I came back in this building and how you clapped and applauded and praised God. And we've praised God. Your burden that you're going through is a blessing, not only to you, but to those around you. You're a witness to people. It causes them to pray. It causes them to thank God. Paul said, therefore, most gladly will I for glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Thank God for everything you've got. Thank God for your blessings. Thank God for his goodness in your life. But I want to warn you, as the Lord warned Israel, don't let your blessings become a burden. Will you bow with me for prayer? I'm not going to have a long invitation. Going to be very short. I want us just to stand together for just a brief moment with you. Miss Pansy is going to come play something. When burdens come, it makes us extremely thankful for our family, for our friends, for God's smallest blessings in our life that we may have overlooked. I wonder this morning if there's some of you who want to just slip around this altar and say, God, I want to thank you for the burdens that become blessings. And God, please don't let my blessings become a burden. Don't let you taking good care of me and giving me a good job and giving me a good family and a good house. And Lord, please don't let any of that cool me off. Lord, don't let it get to where I don't pray like I ought to, or don't read the Word of God, don't live with the Word of God. The house of God's not important. God, I pray that you're blessing me, God, that I want to flee to the house of God at every opportunity and just worship you. Thank you for your goodness, because God, you've been good. Everything I've got came from you, and I praise you for that. Maybe you want to do that. If you're here this morning and you're not right with God, maybe a Christian, but you're out of fellowship with him, could be that you've gone through a time of burden and it made you bitter instead of better. You blame God. Will you let God do something in your heart? Will you let God turn your burden into a blessing? Will you let him do that this morning? Will you come and just yield yourself to him? And like Job said, though he slay me, yet I trust him. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. I'm going to tell you something. He loves you. And he has blessed you in spite of yourself. A rich young ruler came to Jesus by night and had great riches. And he said, sell everything you've got, give it to the poor. I don't think he'll call any of you to do that. He might. But the key issue was this. That man was trusting those riches. And the Bible said God makes it rain on just and unjust. God had given him those riches. And yet those blessings became a burden because he trusted them instead of willing to trust God. You say, my life's a shamble. I can't get anything to work. It may be that you're not doing what the Word of God says. You're not looking to him. You're not honoring him. You're not trusting him. You've not given him your whole life. Will you let him do that for you? Will you this morning let him take control of your life? He said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you. Can't figure out why things are not going right. Could be that you're not right with God. Could be that you're not honoring him, seeking him. Will you seek him? Will you commit your life to him? If you're not saved, ask him to save you this morning. Several around the altar already. Will you come? Will you come right now? God's Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus. My dear friends, sometimes your blessings can become a burden. But thank God your burdens can become blessings if you let God do it. Let's turn it over to Him. Our Heavenly Father, You have been so very, very good to all of us. Our Father, I'm glad that, Lord, that You've been good and blessed us physically, financially, and spiritually, and every other way. So many people in this building, our Father. God, we confess to You this morning, acknowledge the fact that every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. Whether we love You or serve You or not, God, You have blessed us so. But God, I would pray, Lord Jesus, that we'd acknowledge that, recognize that, not be like Israel, that we would take credit for it and say we did it, but to give You glory and honor and thank You for it. And God, I pray, God, that for our dear friends who are facing great burdens, that God, the Holy Ghost, Lord, to help them see what a blessing it will be to all those around them for Your glory, that they might be drawn even closer to You and know more of Your presence and Your power. And God, I pray You'd minister grace to them, and we'll thank You and praise You. For it's in the strong name of Jesus we pray and give You praise. Amen and amen.